Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't said?
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your fuck your boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes. Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
Hello, fuckers. How you doing? Where you been? Where you living? Who's your mom? Welcome to Guys We Fucked.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne.
I'm Christina.
Welcome to the show.
All right. So if you want to email us some of your problems, do you need advice? Do you have a crazy ass story, good or bad? Sorry about last night's show at gmail.com. Today's subject line: no grown man wants to be your friend. Am I imagining things?
Oh.
Hi, ladies. So I'm 28, recently out of a long-term relationship, 6 years. For the first time in my adult life, I am learning how to be completely independent. I live alone with my dog, work a lot, pay all my bills, and feel amazing. I have a friend. Let's call him Joe. You like him. I could tell by the fake names you give these guys. He's 40.
Joe's a strong name.
Yeah. He's 42 years old. We met a year ago while he was still in a relationship. I thought he was hot,
smart.
But we kept a non-romantic friendship. He would send me music on WhatsApp.
Yeah, I know all this. My 42-year-old male friends with their non-romantic 28-year-old pals, the gal pals.
He sent me music on WhatsApp, but I wouldn't respond because I felt that we had a connection and didn't want to disrespect my partner at the time. And his, but yeah. I recently went through a breakup with that partner. It was a nasty breakup. He cheated on me and I decided to move cities 1 hour away to be closer to work. Now I am in the same city as my friend Joe.
Crazy. Ooh, how that happened.
Weird. Just kind of tripped and fell into the city next to Joe. When I arrived, we started taking long walks together with our dogs. He opened up to me about how he went through the same type of nasty breakup and offered advice. We continue to go on walks at least once a week. Sometimes after our walks, he takes me to a nice ass 5-star hotel to get drinks. That ain't a friend, baby girl. He owns a shop. Every time I go in to try to buy stuff, he throws in free stuff for me. He has brought me tupers of food.
Tupperware.
Yeah, that sounds like Tupperware.
Oh, of food to eat to my house, introduce me to his family, and posts my photos on his Instagram. I'm a photographer.
What?
Okay,
are you guys married?
Date you. I feel as though we have similar interests and lots of similar past traumas. Our fathers also died under the same circumstances, and we agree 100% on how we want to envision our futures. I decided to ask him if he has a girlfriend, and he said that he's seeing someone. Oh, what the fuck? If I was her, if I was that girl who was singing, I'd be like, who the fuck is this bitch? He mentioned going to do things with this girl, but won't go into more details. I can tell he is trying to make it clear that he is with someone, but doesn't want me to know about her. Yeah, because he probably likes you too. At first, I suspected it was myself, but later, when making plans with him to go to a dog beach, he told me he was already going with his girl, but we still have to make a day trip another time.
What?
He wants that cake and eating it too. Meanwhile, we're taking 4-hour hikes, exploring the forest together, and watching the sunset. Girl, that ain't a friend. as a husband. We keep in constant contact throughout the week and communicate as friends. We send music and photos of our walks. He always takes advice. He always advises me of a nice sunrise and of a good photo opportunity before I wake up. Boo-boo. Oh, he's cheating on his girlfriend with you. I can't stop thinking about him. I have this deep feeling he is my person. I even added him on the pattern app, but it says we were past life lovers.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
And that we are extremely compatible.
You know who I was also a past life lover with, my darling? My father. So, okay, let's relax here.
I know there is a connection, but I'm newly single. I know I'm not ready for a new relationship. When are we ever, really? And except that I should learn how to be alone, but I can't shake this feeling that we are meant to be together. I'll give you the advice in a second. I know you always say no grown man wants to be your friend, but this guy's acting like he just wants to be friends. Girl, no, he is not. Ain't no friend of mine giving me sunset pictures, okay? Should I even say anything to him or just keep him as a friend, even though I feel there's a romantic tension? Because there is.
Well, it's inappropriate on to this other
thing. If he's seeing somebody, that's fucking rude.
I think the more problem here is his behavior, and is this how he acts when he's in relationships?
I have an urgency knowing he's seeing someone. I don't want to miss the opportunity. I mean, you already missed it because you're already seeing someone. Do I need to let go of the idea? Am I just replacing one man with another?
Possibly.
Is this typical new single girl shit? Do you guys believe in soulmates? Thanks ahead of time. Let me know what you think. Okay, I got photos. I'm like, damn, he's a lot older than you.
I believe in soulmates. I don't believe he is your soulmate, though, if that's the answer that you didn't ask that you want.
I think he gets off on having a 28-year-old friend, to be honest. But the thing is, regardless, if this person is your person, I would stop hanging out with him like this. This is too much. It's too intimate. It's very intimate. And it's like you like the guy. He has a girlfriend or somebody he's seeing. So what I would do to really test the waters is say, hey, I don't want to be hanging out as much because this feels kind of relationshipy and you're seeing somebody and this is taking time away from me actually pursuing a relationship should I want to. So I'm just going to take a step back here, because the thing is, if you are actually meant to be, let him the fuck go and you will come back to each other.
That's definitely the move.
Science, baby.
You absolutely have to pull back. That's the only way this is going to work.
It's only going to end well if you pull back.
Well, it probably won't end well anyway because
if anything, like, you're not meant to be together and he marries this girl.
Well, also, there's a 14-year age gap, which, I mean, listen, I'm like, love an age gap. I think this is about this right here, for 15 years, I would say, is like kind of what we're maxing out on absolute age gaps.
That's
kind of like, in my experience, that's about the, and I've gone that far, and it's, and those people are fine, but that's about the furthest is you could go. And the problem is, once these guys approach 50, 51, 52, and I've been there,
spectacles,
they're getting crusty.
Yeah. They're changing that font size on the iPhone and you're like, ah, oh, damn it.
You're not even close to crusty.
Anyway,
you're actually, you know, approaching your sexual peak. Mm-hmm. So that's what's difficult about that.
Yes.
So, I mean, those hikes that he's taken are great. Hopefully he's taking them with his actual girlfriend too. Just really keeping it in check.
What is he telling his girlfriend when he's going on hikes with her?
I don't know. I can't imagine it's the truth.
Could you just put yourself in the shoes of this girlfriend? Honey, what are you doing?
Fuck?
Oh, I'm laying out the sunset for my friend.
I'm like, no, you're fucking not. Who's your friend? How do you know her? How old is she? What the fuck is this?
I mean, I don't know what the person I'm dating is doing at every moment of the day, though. I mean, this is one sunset.
You don't think you would pick up on some of this stuff? Question it?
No, four hours? I mean,
I don't know what my boyfriend does every second of the day.
Yeah.
Nor do I want to.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know what I do, but like, my God.
No, I mean,
yeah, I mean, that's true. I guess my boyfriend could technically have a friend like this that I wouldn't know about.
All of our partners could literally have full 18
other girlfriends,
families, guys. Just to make that very clear to everyone.
Happy New Year.
Unless you're in one of those crazy relationships where you're literally together all the time and
texting
nonstop.
In which case, that's
nonstop.
Very unhealthy. That's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that, I mean, that's the move. You got to pull away because you're getting all the, I guess, benefits of a friendship with this guy, you're getting fucked over here, and this guy's being weird, and there's no way this guy does not want to fuck you.
No fucking way.
But also, what you're allowing him to basically
have all the things,
have two relationships, and that's we can't.
We're not going to do that, girl. It's 2023
to men.
We're not going to do that anymore. Okay,
mm-hmm.
New year, new you.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, come see us live. I am performing a bunch of dates in 2023. I'm going to go down the list. Nyack, New York, Levity Live, February 2nd through 4th. Winnipeg, Canada, I'm at Rumors, February 9th through the 11th. New Westminster, British Columbia, Canada, House of Comedy, March 16th through the 18th. Dallas, Texas, March 24th through the 26th. Boston, Laugh Boston, April 14th and 15th. Edmonton, Canada, got a lot of Canada dates. Comic Strip, April 20th through the 22nd. Detroit, Michigan, House of Comedy, the 28th and the 29th. Some of these dates, ticket links are available on ChristineHodgenson.com. Some of them aren't up yet. But either way, they will be there, so save the dates. Also, I have a Patreon that I run. $5 a month gets you at least one new episode of The Voices in Our Heads, my solo podcast, where I just do deep dives into my own goddamn brain. And then I do 3 to 4 times a month group Zoom, in quotes, therapy, because I'm not a licensed therapist, but I facilitate group chatting, group lamenting, group sharing. And it's a beautiful little space that we've created where you just come, you say whatever's on your mind, and we all have a good time. We laugh at the dark shit and we cheer each other on and say good job. Tomorrow, for Luminary listeners only, everyone else, it'll already have been passed. New Year's Eve, New York City. We're doing a big show with all my favorite friends and comedians at New York Comedy Club East Village, which is 85 East 4th Street. It's Corinne Fisher's Morbid New Year's Eve, Fucked Up Jokes and a Fucked Up Year, featuring myself, Christina Hutchinson, Chloe LaBranche, Maddie Smith, Ryan Long, Lev Fur, and I think Danny Polishchuk will also be there. And then after that, get tickets if there's still tickets available to the huge New Year's Eve party that I am producing with Ronnie Lordi. That is at the Firehouse at Engine 3187 Lafayette Street. It's like right Chinatown, Little Italy area. Super great area. And it's $100 a pop. We might make it up, you know, closer to the date, but we'll see how tickets are selling. It's a open bar all night, actual liquor, not just beer and wine, liquor, beer and wine. And a DJ, 2 rooms, a short comedy show, including myself to start. It's going to be an incredible night. The theme is Interstellar, but dressed to impress. Tickets for that are all in the Linktree link in my bio on Instagram. And then all the shows are at CorinneFisher.com. And then 2023 tour dates, just a couple of them, just a little sprinkling to get me out of the city. Austin, Texas, Friday, February 10th, one show at Vulcan Gas Company. Saturday, February 11th, 2 shows in Houston, Texas at Rockefeller's. And then Toronto, Canada, Friday, February 17th and Saturday, February 18th at Comedy Bar. Ticket links for all those are up. Again, it's CorinneFisher.com or the Linktree link in my bio at Philanthropy Gal. Please make sure you're following us on social media. Very helpful.
Absolutely. I'm Share at Christina our Hutch. We're at Guys We Fucked without the U and Fucked on all social media, including TikTok and YouTube. We have a new Guys We Fucked Clips channel where you're able to get clips of the podcast, shorter length videos, as well as the Guys We Fucked Vault, which features all these old sketches. Because Sorry About Last Night's been a comedy duo for 13 years, and we got a lot of stuff under our belt, and we're going to be showing it to you. So subscribe, like all the shit. And then if you haven't followed us and rated and reviewed Guys We Fucked on the Apple iTunes podcast app, can you do it? Because it keeps us in the top 200, because our comedy podcast is fucking legendary, and we want the people to know.
Yes, and I'm at Philanthropy Gal on all social media, and Mike is at Mike Coscarelli.
Wow.
Mike's in a great mood today.
Mm-hmm. Happy New Year.
Good. I'm glad. Someone needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, our guest.
Our guest today.
She's also in a good mood.
Our guest, she's my one of my favorite astrologers on the internet. She's a vlogger and an all-around internet person. Please give a warm welcome to Maren Altman.
What's this life that I'm facing? Aggravated, so damn distraught. Every night I'm here praying that my next step isn't one that is wrong here on the north side. Shorty, the whole crew will tell you we taking no lies. Get on the other side of town with all your bull cries. Hiding for different dimensions, I need like 6 sides. Yeah, I need another winner. That round booty, baby, that's one hell of a figure. You move with crazy.
crazy rage, I love that big ass shit. So baby, let's get down and dirty, rock it with you. I'm fucking with you. I need another window. That brown booty, baby, that's one hell of a figure. You move it crazy ways, I love that big ass shit. So baby, let's get down and dirty, rock it with you. I'm fucking with you. Out of town, and I'm riding around. I just coughed about a pound, but the pigs is around. Shut shit down with the sound. I'm the endless around. No fucks are found. Maybe I'm just crazy, but I'm profound. Yeah, what you doing with it? Yeah. Let me see.
You guys, imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Well, Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. What? The best part is Quince items are all priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. And I freaking love that for everybody involved. I love Quince. You can get so many items on there. Their sweaters are so soft. I have this beautiful hunter green purse that I carry around all the time. I always get compliments on it. And I'm like, guys, it's from Quince, okay? It looks really bougie. Oh, I love it so much. Indulge in affordable luxury, guys. Go to quince.com/GWF for free shipping on your order and 365 days returns. That's quince.com, quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365 day returns. quince.com/GWF. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? Is it drained? You know, we wake up in the morning, we have a tank of gas, and then the tank gets depleted over the day. And therapy can really help with that, okay? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or your gas tank. I love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for it. Getting stuff off your chest alone is really helpful. But when you're talking to a licensed therapist that can actually give you tips and tricks and homework, it just makes it all the more better. And honestly, your friends will appreciate you not bugging them all the time. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief survey and get matched with a licensed therapist. And you could switch therapists every time because therapy, finding a therapist, it's like dating. They're not all going to work out. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/guys.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
We are here with Maren Altman, astrologist extraordinaire. Is that correct? Super excited to talk to you. Corinne was a big fan, and then she showed me your Instagram. I'm like, yeah, you're a Corinne gal for sure. Super gothy,
blood splattered. I was
blood
like,
splatter high heels and lingerie. Yeah. I'm like, that's such a Corinne move,
a Corinne pick. So I know you said that you overshare a lot. I'm much just like probably very late to the game, so I know you through the astrology space. But you said something very interesting while we were setting up here, and that was that you don't really date, which I kind of got the sense from things that you've said in passing in your astrology. And I love that because you still have this like really hot aesthetic, but you just like seem disinterested in dating. And I love this. Can you talk a little bit more about why you haven't dated and your thoughts on future?
Yeah. I don't know how it really happens to meet someone and have them be like a potential mate or companion. I'm not against it. I wouldn't say I'm disinterested necessarily, but that I have had two brief boyfriends in high school and then a boyfriend last year. It was all like 2 weeks periods.
Oh, okay. Super brief.
Yeah. So it went from like good friends to boyfriend and then feeling like there was, I mean, at that, they were my age, and at my age being like at that time, teenager, now early 20s, I felt like people my age, there's a huge maturity difference. Yeah. So that wouldn't be plausible. They were very nice people. And then the most recent one about a year ago, turned around and slept with my friend of over 20 years, my best friend. And it was all vlogged.
Ex-best
my,
friend.
Yeah, very
it was
quickly.
All vlogged?
Yeah, it was during Vlogmas, which I film every day in December. And I'm right. like getting, I'm just like, oh, I don't know where my friend is. And then I realized they
just
had like
my boyfriend.
Been, yeah. So that
what'd
was,
you
like,
do?
Horrifying. I'm a very direct person, so I was just like, she asked if she could, it's all on video, by the way, me uncovering this, me doing my makeup and her coming back in to pick up her things when I was like, you just need to get your things and get out. I'm not dramatic. I just draw a boundary. I'm like, yeah, this is disgusting. Just
see you later.
Get your things out.
20-year friendship.
20 years from
Girl,
like age what? 2 to 20, from like 2, 3 to 22, 23.
Shit.
Yeah, it was pretty shocking. So with like dating, I wouldn't say that I'm disinterested, but that I see a lot of people may just wasting their time if someone's Venn diagram of like, if we create like a crossover, like that would work, but I don't feel the need to at all cater my life to finding someone. I'm just like chill the way I am. I create a lot. I think I'm now at an age where I would be able to date the people in the older age range that would be compatible with me. And there's a few people that like I could see that working out with, but by no means do I actively change my life for that. I would let it come into my life if so be it.
Good head on your shoulders. Were you raised to be think like this, or is this kind of naturally how your philosophy unfolded?
I am best friends with my dad. Like literally he's nicest, calmest, most generous person ever. And I was Aww. Not raised with a stable mom. She was crazy, alcoholic, abusive. And so I think that taking care of myself emotionally on the maternal side very early on, and also having I like opposite daddy issues. Like I grew up around men, friends with half, maybe more men. So it's just like, I get that I don't feel the need
Are
to
your mom
change this.
Dad together?
No, they divorced when I was two.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. So did your dad, was your dad able to explain like, mommy's a little, she's hurting mentally, like that
no,
kind of stuff?
No, actually, no one explained it to me until I began to see a difference in my behavior with my parents growing up at school. And like, I went to a private Christian school, very like, you know, what your parents dressed like looked like was like, that was your social status in a way.
Gross,
So just early on, I realized there was a discrepancy, but my dad to this day never addressed it. I mean, he'll comment on like, I haven't talked to my mom since I was 17. So he'll comment on like, oh, that memory. And it's a little bit like, oh, don't talk about mom, whatever. I'm open. Open, but I don't push other people to be open, so I still don't really know, but I do know that like her drinking and mental illness escalated severely around my time. My older brother and sister, who were over a decade older, it was not the same for them. She was unstable.
They got a different mom.
It was unstable, but they saw it degrade, and they were already teenagers when it really went downhill for me. So I'm okay with it. It turned me into like a creative person. Like I'm really, I have no hard feelings. Like I would not be here without it, but that did lead me to be I'd say in a healthy way avoid an attachment style. I don't disclude people, but I don't understand codependence. I literally don't understand going out of your way to depend on someone. I am just incredibly me, and I'm okay with that. And if it changes, you know,
you roll the punches. Yeah. Nice.
Right. I think that's what I was, because I'm like, I'm not sure. I just come across people on the internet, and I think there's some essence of that initially drew me to you. And that's that I found your content to be really engaging and interesting.
Yet
I was never watching anything where you were talking about sex, dating, relationships, which is, you know, normally, you know, most of what we see 24-year-old, you know, heterosexual, yes.
Yeah.
Women talking. Well,
yeah, pretty. No, it's
you
queer.
Never know these days.
No.
I was like, all the kids are bi now. I don't really know. But
I remember being an NYU student, and I literally think I was the only person that was straight. Wow. Oh, okay. Cool.
It's so boring. Like it's so boring. It's so bad to be in entertainment now and not. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I let a lady finger me in a sex club, and I was like, there was no. I was trying. I need to find something because otherwise my career.
I don't even
go
have anything.
Tubes.
No. Yeah. It's funny because I see. I mean, there'll just be commentary about like women my age being like, you know, thrown over. There was a trending TikTok sound. It was like untouchable, and people were using it sarcastically, being like, oh, me using the sound that I'm untouchable when I've slept with hundreds of people, and I'm like, no, I. Dead ass, like I'm nearly untouchable. Like that's just like, but I don't judge, care either way, whatever. But with me, it's not an avoidance. I'm incredibly open. It's just I don't have a lot to talk about. And if I do one day, then it would be angry. It would be insane. It would be insane. But I'm not closed off or like afraid or anything. It's just like hasn't really lined up too seriously yet. If it does, you know, cool.
So with untouchable, have you how many people have you slept with?
Three.
Three.
Yeah,
and were.
were these, what, like, one was, I'm guessing, the boyfriend that the other person slept
yeah,
with?
Yeah, it was my two high school boyfriends.
Oh, you did? Which, oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah, and then my boyfriend last year, so.
So when did you lose your virginity?
17.
17?
Yeah.
Okay. And age? Did you have, like, a talk about it, or did it just kind of happen organically?
I was dating my boyfriend for, I had been friends with this guy for, like, I'd say, like, 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then we started dating, and it happened very quickly after that. And I did not feel pressured, unhealthy at all. We didn't speak about it beforehand. But it was very, I feel like I might be the only girl my age to be able to say this. I've had no harassment, traumatizing, any issues, like, sexually
That's
at
great.
All. Like, ever. Like, literally, there's been no issue. But it's because I've dated, like, beta, low-T men. So it's like, there's not any issue.
Yeah.
Is that, like, your type?
No. I learned early on, I think because I don't want to say a dominant personality, but I definitely have a power to me that when men are younger, that then leads them, like, those with mommy issues are like, oh, and I feel like, oh, I'm in control. Like, this is just my golden retriever who looks cute. Great.
Right.
I quickly learned that being spineless does not mean they're going to mistreat you. It means that they're going to do it in cowardice. So being like beta, alpha, whatever, doesn't really define, you know, your morality necessarily. But I now find that I prefer people that maybe they're a little bit different than me in the way that they're dominant or the way that they express themselves. But I don't want someone who's spineless. You know, I would prefer someone who in a way like is courageous enough to inspire me as well. So yeah. It wasn't my type. I don't blame that. Maybe these people have changed now as well. It could be they're 17, 18,
everyone's
like
evolving.
Whatever.
Right.
Yeah. But at the time, it was just like, I did everything. I fucking had to unbuckle their belt every time. Like, it was just everything.
Right.
And so I think I just have a disinterested association with sex because it's like, well, I get nothing out of it. I'm doing everything. It's not traumatic. It's fucking nothing.
Yeah. It just doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, fucking turn me on.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
and
do the work to turn me on, motherfucker. Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever actually had that. Like, I'm not one of the girls who's like, oh, I put on a porn show. No, but I just gave them that cute little 17, 18-year-old, like, vanilla experience, whatever. They're fine for them. But, like, now it's like, I would just not, like, no, that's not tolerable. And I don't do anything casual, so, yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, I don't know how that arises.
Yeah. Well, have you ever orgasmed?
No.
By yourself?
By myself, yes.
Oh,
not
I was like,
with it.
Girl,
yeah.
Okay. We got some vibrators in the closet. I'll give you some when you leave.
Well, no, it would be interested to hear because it is actually a common thing that we hear. Yeah. I mean, we used to get emails all the time from people who had never orgasmed, even from masturbation.
Yeah. Okay.
But so no one else has made you orgasm, but do you feel like, do you get horny a lot or?
I'm attracted to people, but I see, like, bonding with someone. I see having sex with someone is a really, really serious thing. Like, I'm someone where that's, like, I just innately, like, that is very serious
to me.
A lot
of energy you're mixing together.
Yes. So it is impossible for me to reach that without utmost trust in someone. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I was able to date people quickly, but was because I knew them for, like, years. Like, these two people, I knew, like, in high school, I knew them for, like, my whole life. And then we started dating, basically. And then the person that I was with last year, I knew for, like a year beforehand. So it wasn't as if, like, it just, whatever.
Yeah, you were in the energy of the
person. Right, I knew them. I trusted them. So with me, that door will not open. And at this point, I would need to date someone who has enough on the line, probably publicly in a public figure way, for that to align. It could not be someone who knows that they, like, anyone. There's a lot of rumors online about me that are absolute craziness. And some of those are, like, that they slept with me. I was like, bro, show me the receipts, please.
That's
the most outlandish one. That's the most outlandish
That's where you
one.
Draw the line.
Right, right. So it's just a serious thing to me. And I respect that a lot. And I also like, I don't want to violate someone who... it might be, like, funny to think of, but, like, I don't want someone to sleep with me and then feel like that was too early for them because they might be pressured of, like, oh, this is someone with a status or a public figure. Like, let me take – like, no. This has to be, honored between us, that kind of thing. So if it arose and I trusted someone, sure, but I would not jump to that immediately. Yeah.
And now, I wanted to fast forward a little bit to the public space.
Yeah.
So with Vlogmas, you documented, you know, you getting cheated on and losing a best friendship. Was that, were you,
oh, God.
During Vlogmas, like, did you make a commitment to yourself? Like, I am going to share the
most personal things that happened to me. Is that always your promise during that time period?
I started sharing my life on the internet when I was like 19, 20, and I entered NYU because I knew that I'm someone who I will not be able to look myself in the mirror if I don't go for it. Like, I will fall on my face. I literally don't know how. I don't, like, no, you go for it. So I just started documenting my life. And then when I blew up on TikTok, it escalated into this archive of my life plus what I was sharing now. So I've been like beyond transparent because I just don't have any, I just live a very simple life and it's insane and absurd. And I honestly don't know anyone that's been through the level of absurdity that I have, but it's fairly like centered just around me. So because of that,
what's absurd about it?
I've traveled around the world, had insane situations involved with very insane people in financial, personal, strange ways. All of it's basically documented online. I literally like look at planets for a living. I grew up like being an actor, like doing musical theater, singing. Now I'm here. Just the amount of insanity of like day-to-day basis. I can't get on a flight without there being like a bird in the cabin or something just crazy.
Oh,
like
that's
that.
Fun. Literally, I love when weird shit happens that.
So there's no day. I think like everyone has their gifts in life to manifest. Like some people are able at manifesting money, whatever. The mindset is there. My mindset is there around my life will be entertaining and insane and I will try everything and I will win at it in some way. That's my own way. Yeah. So it's like that doesn't stop. It was never an issue of hiding anything online. That's why when I am either accused of lack of transparency or lying, it's like, no, like that hits me to my core because I'm like, no, I overshare to where people are like, you can't include me in your vlog. Like I might say something a little and I'm like, okay, yeah, you won't be included. But for like, and I don't have anything yet that requires not sharing.
Right.
Except for like in my business with AstroRace, which I'm putting astrology into like Web3 and bringing in AI, there were some things where we're just like, we're not going to share like company secrets or like the financial back end at first. But that would never came to mind to share that because that's like, that's boring. No one cares. So yeah.
So we talk about we've been talking recently on the show a lot about business. So did you have a specific like template in mind when you went online? Like this is I'm going to build myself into a brand, or did you kind of take the feedback that you got and then use that? How did it start? Because it's a very impressive the level that you've gotten to at such a young age, seemingly like all on your own.
Yeah. I now see that I operate kind of everything like a business, but in no way was it an intentional master plan. Nice. I was an NYU student studying philosophy and writing and psychology, and I always knew that I would go into entertainment and something theatrical. I actually switched out of Tisch into philosophy because from my understanding of being at Tisch at the time, I was not going to be allowed to audition or like take extra.
Or intern. Yeah. They That's why I went to Marymount Manhattan. Okay. And all the Tisch kids were like, fuck, you're interning in SNL? I'm like,
yes.
You can't work within the industry while you're learning how to work in the industry?
But like that's half the kids like were fucking getting jobs while we were in college. It's like, these are your fucking go time, baby. Like, you should be auditioning.
And that was actually heartbreaking for me to like have auditioned and gone my life being like, I would go to NYU Tisch, but then realizing in that moment I've struggled with thoughts of suicide, and so I literally live every day as like, this has to be excellent, impressive, outstanding, and somehow incredibly interesting, or it is a wasted day because you don't know.
Does that get you down though? Because not every day is going to be like fucked up.
No, because I live an incredibly weird life, and I make videos screaming at a camera for like it's my life is insane.
Okay, so you find moments in your life even if you're not flying to Dubai, like where you're like, oh, I had this moment with a stranger that I'm like, what the fuck? Yes. This is beautiful.
Some days I'll open the Vlogmas camera and I'll be like, there's nothing today. And then it ends up, I have a revelation on camera. I will make beauty if there's not.
Right. Okay. So you're on a mission to like find the beautifulness in every day. Oh, that's great. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And so with that, what was I talking about before I brought that up?
Well, we were talking about Tisch and stuff. Tisch, and you were saying you had thoughts of suicide. Yes. And so you have this goal.
During that first year of college, when I was no longer around my mother, because growing up, I was like, I don't know if I can make it to 18 and justify living that long. It's so brutally painful physically, emotionally being around this person. I don't know if I can justify it. So I always weighed out living or not living as a literally a logical equation to the point where people were bothered by it because it was not a poor
me. Oh, I like this.
It was very much is the sunk cost of continuing to live versus the opportunity of continuing to live. Yeah. Just the literal pain. I decided get to 18 because you'll never know what's on the other side unless you get to 18. I actually left my mom at 17 and started living with my dad once I had a car and could just tell my dad I'm never living with her again. He never asked why. He just was like,
he knew. He knew.
Yeah, it's weird that that you were even left with your mom when they divorced. I know that's more common, but
usually
your mom
the kid goes with the mom.
If she had substance abuse issues.
That has led me to actually have a severe distrust of the justice system and feel like I would get favored as a woman if I... That's one of the reasons why I'm not against ending up with someone in a relationship, but I don't think I would be able to marry someone and know that if anything went downhill, I would have that paper in court and I could get everything potentially. I would never do that to someone. But because of that, I just lived with my mom. And then when I got to Tish and everything, that's actually when my mental health got worse because there was no longer an abuser who was like a reason to feel bad. I still felt bad and I felt like that was my fault. And I was like, oh, then end it. Like, if you feel bad and everything's going well, you made it to NYU, you have a scholarship. So your dad is
ungrateful bitch.
Yes, literally. It was like, you're at NYU, you have a scholarship, your dad isn't having to freak out over paying.
It makes it so much worse.
And I actually wrote a novel called A Prisoner of Memory, which was not a, it was not an autobiography, but it was personifying the level of like, oh, I must be the problem if I am ungrateful and I am doing all these things that are, you know, wasting it. So I wrote a lot of things, but I realized for one, I wanted to get tattoos and look differently than what they were. That you wouldn't have, I wouldn't have been able to book anything if I had tattoos and look like this. Now it doesn't matter. But I switched into philosophy so I could like learn how to think and articulate better, yet also audition at the same time. I graduated in 3 years because I really liked school and didn't know that that was like possible. But I get a call in my last semester. They're like, no, you're graduating. What's your gown size? I'm like, excuse me. That ended up being May 2020, which I now feel like I got out at the right time because after that, everything's remote. It would have been like, I love school. I loved that classroom.
And engaging in like conversation.
I love school too. And I'm that annoying bitch who's like, for most people, college is not worth it. I would say for most people, look online, you can learn everything from me. But with that, I then blew up on TikTok literally as soon as I started posting. It was the 2020 election, so I had a ton of content to predict. And it allowed me to, like, I grew up being like, I wanted to do acting, singing. That definitely fulfilled the acting side of being able to do something on camera that was still authentic, and like now being able to do more things that are cameo or something that it's a little bit even straight acting side. But I saw it as a business plan innately because I always had faith that every step I'm taking is a net positive and is useful to my long-term plans. I literally don't know what it's like to waste time. Like, I don't have anything that I chill. I don't have any time that's like downtime. If it's, I'm on a flight and I'm boarding and I literally can't do work because it's like, I'm like listening to the Huberman Lab podcast about setting goals and achieving goals or something like that. So I inherently, I feel like, run my life like a large corporation of all these moving parts, but I don't sit down and like have a master plan. It's just, it's all categorized.
Yeah, it seems like you really are like a one man band, and I love that. I used to be like that. You might experience burnout, but maybe you won't. I don't know.
I am the only person when sometimes I'll hire people for my company, and they're concerned because anytime we have an issue, I'm like, let me handle it immediately, and then I'll delegate the actual task out afterward. And people, I had one of my developers who's a good friend of mine. He's an incredible engineer. He called me and he was like, I'm concerned about you. You're doing all this. I don't want my CEO to burn out. And then I quickly was like, I was like, LMAO, just ask any other person on the team. Like, should you be asking me this right now? And he was like, what does that mean? I was like, just do it. And then literally he sent me everyone's responses. They're like, it's Maren. If it's too much, she will say, stop everyone. Someone needs to do this. But I'd say the reason I don't experience burnout is simply because maybe I have too much pressure on my shoulders. It's like, you can't. And I've made it that way.
Really do feel like that conserves a lot of energy. And like for you come in so young and be so focused on something that's not a guy, like it makes me so happy. Like, I feel like I'm your mom. Like, I'm so proud of you. This is exactly what I want for the future.
Like advice that we try to give people because it just takes up a lot of, it's a mental suck. It's a time suck. It's your energy.
It's probably the only regret I have. And like, thank God that I turned all that time I spent thinking about relationships into a business. It all worked out. Yeah. But for all those women out there who just spent time thinking about boys to think about boys and didn't make it into
all that
energy podcast, that's
what I think of as well. Like, I'm now at the point where my career and ambitions and what I'm going after align me with really incredible people, some men that, like, I don't have like one person in particular, but like the path that I'm in now means that I think living in your own path of interest and pursuing that is the best dating app that you could ever use.
That's what we always recommend. Yeah. It's so funny because I really feel like I'm at a time now, like, where I'm just like not meeting the caliber of person that I want to be around. Right. And so I literally just have to go, I just have to wait until I'm at the next level of my career and then I'll meet that person because there's no use skimming the bottom.
Right.
Sorry, everyone I know.
No losers in this circle.
No, sorry. We have to have high standards. I don't think dating is not a charity game. It is. It's not. And I just think it's funny because on TikTok, a lot of the trending content will be like talking about dating, guys, whatever. And it's like, I can't relate to any of it because it's like, oh, when he does the bare minimum, I'm like, bro, this isn't even funny. Like, stop this. Like, I don't care. Like, fuck. Like, is your self-esteem like, no. Pick yourself up, bitch. Like, get up.
Yeah.
People come to me to be like, this is disgusting. Like, you're like beautiful and you're next to this bitch with the broccoli haircut. Stop. Like, no. So I just think I agree. And I think not dating, not intentionally. Like, that just hasn't lined up because I'm so me. And also intentionally not drinking. I think those two things just save me a ton of.
So not drinking, not dating. Do you feel like an alien among peers your age, or did you find a group of people who share your sentiment?
I have an incredible group of friends. I'd say that the number one kind of superpower in my life is that I attract an incredible caliber group of people. And if you meet anyone through me,
break.
They have been vetted. They're an incredible person. No one gets through. Besides, like, maybe my best friend of 20 years. That was severely strange. That was strange.
She failed the test.
That was strange.
Yeah.
And no one else.
And she knew you since you were two. You didn't have those qualities, the standards when you were two.
True. So, and everyone else, I have no issues, no drama, no conflict, anything with my friends ever. I don't understand how that happens. And none of them are heavy drinkers. I think some have like wine when they go out, but like, I don't know anyone that's like a partier drinker. I mean, actually.
Wow. So that means they're not trying to run away from their feelings, which is a nice energy to be around.
I think when I was in college, I was very lonely, not because people at NYU were crazy partiers, but because like when you're, I'd say teenager into early 20s, it can feel a little bit like if you're, I don't even want to say mature for your age, it's overused. But if you have incredible ambitions that do not revolve around the immediate gratification of your life, that alienates you because usually those thoughts are people in their 30s. But then I did yoga teacher training and was a yoga teacher briefly. And that connected me with
people.
You
led like 18 lifetimes.
Because I knew I wanted to be doing something that brought me a little bit of income. I couldn't live off of $30 classes, but I wanted the energy of doing something of my own merit.
Yeah.
So I was a yoga teacher. That quickly ended because the songs I was playing were too explicit. And,
My girl Ashley has a yoga studio and she plays like bump and grind shit. I'm like, yeah.
I did too.
I would love that.
It makes you want to do yoga more.
I want to cry during yoga. Like, I mean, I would like, because that's why I like SoulCycle, because you're like doing something that's like kind of like,
I understand
they make it
though.
Fun.
It was like Lil Peep being like,
yeah,
I'm going to kill myself. And that was like, but you know, that was me. And that was me. That was me. But anyway,
of course it was Lil Peep. That's so hilarious.
I listened to Lil Peep on the way here, but, I like living that life of a yoga teacher meant that I could meet some people in vastly different ages. People get into yoga teacher training, 20, 40, 50, it's whatever.
Yeah.
And that was the first group of friends that I made that felt like, no matter what age we were aligned on values.
Yeah,
not
it's really
all of them
important.
Are not drinking, whatever, but it was like everyone felt grounded and I'd never seen that. I'm still friends with some of them. Many of them, you know, they moved here for that training and then left. But with that, from that point onward, because my career took off literally right after that, all my friends are 35 plus. I'd say 35 to 45 is like where all my friends are. If I were to date, it would be in that age range. I just know like that's what it would end up as. And
it's a good age range because you're self-actualized. You've been through shit. You fuck shit up and then you made amends usually. Yeah. You know what I mean? And if you're not running from your problems, like in the way that you were saying that a lot of people drink, it's pretty solid.
Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
foundation. Yeah,
and that's, I think, the number one thing I always say that I admire in people, and the indication of strong character, I find, is direct communication.
Yeah.
We can have differences on literally every topic. I am someone who, I was a philosophy student. I love debating. I don't take anything personally. Like, I'm just like, argue. And that direct communication is something that's present in all my relationships, because there's literally no time for anything flaky, false. No. It's direct. It's like immediate. So
I would love to learn something from you and be selfish in this interview for 1 second. You describe mommy issues that I have I have a lot of them. But the loneliness that a mom can give you when she doesn't give a fuck about your life and tries to like manipulate you and your love is a bargaining chip. I didn't realize this was happening until I was like 31. So I had a lot of years. Lot of years of going, my mom's my best friend. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait, she fucking sucks. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'm curious how, like, you said, like, I'm either, like, when you debated killing yourself, like, I'm someone who feels like suicidal ideation a lot because this is like this lonely pit. Yeah. But like, how were you always like, nope, bitch, we're turning it around. Get the fuck up and we're going to go running or something like, did you always have that voice that supported you?
Partially, yes. And I think there was a strange dichotomy where my mom would say things like, I can't believe, like, you're my daughter, like, for no real reason. It was always
in,
like,
what tone?
In the tone of, like, honestly, that I was short, that I was blonde, like, my natural hair is light, I dye it dark. And, like, things that I can now see she was probably jealous of, that I didn't need a boob job. So I'm going to be, it was so petty.
When a mom is jealous, you're like,
oh my
this
God.
It's the opposite of motherhood. Yes. It's the opposite of a mother's love and how beneficial that can be.
That's like such a common relationship that moms have with their daughters. Yeah. So
and like
fucked.
Things like she refused to teach me things like I didn't learn about sex or my period or anything from her. I had to talk to like my dad to get my first bras. And that was like really humiliating. I felt like when I was like, Dad, I need to go to like Abercrombie or whatever the store was. But my dad was the kind of dad where, maybe because he saw this and he didn't want to bring it up, or he said before that he, all of his life, he wanted a daughter. He had me at 52, and that was like a miracle to him, because my older brother is like 18 years older. He had it with another. So he was the kind of dad where, like, if I was losing in a board game, he would cheat for me. And like, I had this extreme,
so on your side.
Yeah, I had these extremes. And to this day, he will say things that I'm not good at and be like, incredible. It could have been an award-winning artist. I was like, bro, no.
That's so sweet.
Paint. Yeah, he frames my paintings that I made when I was like 5. He's like, look at the genius here. Yeah. I'm like,
but, so you have unconditional love of at least one parent.
Yeah,
that's
so
nice.
I think that instilled in me like the confidence of just this, these extremes of like, die bitch versus like, kill it. But also
die bitch, slay bitch.
But I now see that there was something innate in me where, like, I remember very early on being really, really idolizing Britney Spears. To this day, I look up to her a lot, and people being like, do you want to be Britney Spears when you're older? I was like, I'm gonna be better. Like, that I didn't get that kids didn't say that with all seriousness in their heart. And I loved pageants, I loved acting, and like, my parents pulled me out of pageants, not because I had a problem with it, because they were like, we don't want her to go down that path. So there was this innate, like, if you have this life, you're going to make the fucking most out of it. And if you do feel like that is not an option, then like, yeah, then nuke it. Now you don't want to be mediocre. I will rather be the worst, like, award-winning worst than anything mediocre.
Right.
Mediocre is forgettable.
Right, exactly.
You'll never forget the worst.
Right, and I think the times, and I've been very open within, like I don't know, like a month or two ago when I'm like, I really don't know if I can, like, make it. And I'll be open about it. And
like suicidal?
Yes. There was a really, really bad thing where there was a company I was working with for ads who ended up, the only company I've ever had sponsoring me repeatedly, a big ad deal. They ended up being insolvent, incredibly criminal, and frauding everyone. And because of that, then when it came out that they were paying me, which I was open about, but of course the people who were understanding of ad deals watch my videos. Yeah. People who were like crypto incel-ish guys who don't understand ad deals and marketing think she was colluding, she was paid off by them. I go, no, I was doing ads on how to use their app. Like, this was a normal ad deal. Then when that came out, it was like, the harassment was so insane. I had to hire private investigators to handle the death threats, things like that. My life is insane because of the amount of capital that's thrown around in the industry. The people will come after me. And I remember being like, I shaking in a video where I'm like, I don't know if I can literally make it through, because I've dealt with harassment. I've had lawsuits against journalists. I do not trust her. Oh my God, the things that they've done, taken out of context, horrible.
Jesus.
But that was like, oh my God, that was, I like threw my hands up. I was like, this is the last straw. I'm not crying. I truly have a throat issue.
Well, it's fucked up when the fucking internet's bullying you and saying you should die and get raped. Your corpse should get raped.
Yes. It was the, like, it was the rape threats. You. That was severe. And also with that, people being like, oh, she, I don't live in Dubai. I bought a property there thinking that I would rent it out. I don't care. I just want to sell it now. So it's on the market. But people saying that I live in Dubai so I can be like, I'm paid by sheikhs. It's like, bro, I don't live in Dubai. I bought an investment property because I thought it was smart. It wasn't smart because I now see like that's just kind of not today's world, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was like so shocked at the narrative and level of things. I was thinking that there's a line in a song that spoke to me very early on in my life and I didn't know why. And it's a song in Nutshell by Alice in Chains.
Okay.
And it's the line that I still want tattooed on me one day. And literally I was 14 being like, I'm obsessed with this. There's two lines. It's my privacy is raped. And then if I can't be my own, I'd feel better dead. Literally to this day. And that's the thought that ran through my head was like, if I can't control the narrative anymore, I want to be dead. I now see there's no point. You will never control the narrative, especially as a young woman.
100%. Never.
But yeah, now I'm in a different mindset place because
you have a different relationship with that. Yeah.
I've never been able to say this before, but I've had a woo-woo spiritual experience in the past month of insane turnaround. And I've never been able to say that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Even though many consider astrology to be in the woo-woo space and that's where you work, you yourself have never had an experience until this month?
No, I see it as pattern recognition and analysis. So I'm seeing cycles.
Uh-huh.
Other people who might be intuitive astrologers, I consider that a completely different practice. Mm. I'm like,
yours
I literally
is like more
don't
mathematical.
Know. Yeah, exactly. It's first order logic. But over the past month, I started working with someone who reached out who does work spiritually with high performers, high caliber like CEOs or entertainers, and helps them work with what could be considered a plateau of taking in all that energy and being like, what do I do next?
Shit is real. Yeah.
And she reached out to me and immediately I was shocked when like just working with her.
We need to manifest this lady to us too because
she's, I can refer her. I've given her like my manager, like incredible, and nothing that felt I've done some like inner child work. That's like, but it was literal steps and patterning and like EMDR work.
Yeah.
Unlocked very early things about like, I've had early on in my life had so much creativity and so much to give through music and through acting like that. It's not like I didn't pursue them, but I didn't go forward with them to like, that's really, really what I want to keep going into.
Yeah.
And through that, the opportunities immediately appeared for me to do those things and was just this incredible awakening of like me feeling like at 24, oh, I'm too old to go into like firm entertainment and not just social media. And then me being like shocked at like, did you just say that?
Yeah.
Like you just said you're 24 and you're too old for these things.
Yeah.
If anyone's in a better position, it's me who's already crafted out a niche, has a platform, a really loyal following and the connections to go after this. So I remember just like calling my manager and being like, we need to get me back into like voice lessons again. Like I'm gonna learn how to like scream correctly to do the album that I really want to do because I don't give a shit what label signs me, whatever. I have something to say. I write songs all the time for a decade. Like we're doing it. And it felt like for the first time since maybe I switched out of acting and did that like on the side so I could do TikTok basically. Since then, it was like this leap that's like, it's going to happen. And the universe fucking there to catch me. No worries. I never had an experience like that where it was not like a painful, like, oh my God, I have to do this or that. I've never felt so like awakened in that way before. Mm. So, yeah.
And that's important. And also, I mean, just with the age thing, that's, we've had this show for 10 years. So if from our 20s into our 30s, and that's like the biggest lie that people will tell you that, you know, like 35 or something as a woman is old, especially it's something that's reinforced so much in the entertainment business. Yeah. And it's like, I look better than ever.
Literally depends on the individual. Like there's some women look for not even looks wise, but they look or behavior or whatever.
Yes.
At 20, and then like me without makeup, I look like a fucking child, but I get that my energy is really old. So people often be like, oh, I thought you were like 35, and I don't even take it personally. I'm like, cool, great. I'm glad I'm mature.
No, that's good. I mean, it's nice to have someone, you know, to be 24 and to be able to just like, you know, come on and speak and we get a sense of who you are. Right. I think a sense of self. I mean, we're stand-up comedians, so like you're finding your voice for like 10 years. And but also in real life, you have to find your voice, whether or not you are a stand-up comedian.
Right.
We just have to find it because our wallet relies on it. But, you know, everyone's lives depend on
it. I'd say me too. Mm-hmm. Not that I intended it to rely on it, but as someone who's always been a very specific, concise, overt communicator, I like didn't and I now see it like both as nature and the nurture of like, if my mom is crazy drunk right now, I have to say things in a very clear way to minimize the fallout. To this day, I say things that I wouldn't say minimize fall out of controversy because I don't give a shit. Take me out of context. I've had it with mainstream media. Like, take me out of context, whatever.
That just means you're doing well and everyone's hating on you anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think it is, if anyone's giving me the time of day to listen, that is an incredible gift and that is not anything I'll take for granted. So I will make it the absolute most of your time. You might have to slow down my video, but that's your choice on what I'm giving you. So that's okay. But I will not dilly-dally, ramble. I think that particularly women have a hard time taking up space today.
Yeah.
And therefore they speak in like tongues or rambling. And I'm like, stop saying you're sorry. Stop saying if this makes sense. It either fucking makes sense or I will let you know that it doesn't. So we'll stop this.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that it's like a blessing to have the time to speak with anyone. So like, I don't want to waste it.
Do you doubt yourself?
That's so weird. Anytime I brought up something like interesting, I've had a throw.
Yeah.
Yes. And then I laugh at that. I'm like, but you're fucking Marin. Like, stop this. But I do. For example, like now getting back into voice and singing, I remember when I was 17 and I was in voice for years with the same person, they told me they wouldn't work with me again because I was fucking up my voice trying to scream, trying to learn how to scream. And it made me like stop listening to music for like a year. I couldn't even turn on music because it was like, these people didn't fuck up their voice trying to scream. You did. But now I'm like, no, I'm going to learn how to scream properly. Fuck
Which can be done.
And I'm now even like learning, like, it's easier than singing in some ways.
Once you realize the technique.
Sure. And I already talk with Vocal Fry, so I'm like halfway there.
Hell yeah. So your first TikToks were about the presidential election, astrology. How did you, I mean, you have an extremely advanced knowledge of astrology, and because you are going from this mathematical point of view, like, how did you learn this? It seems incredibly hard, and then you'll just do these videos where you're looking at a chart and you'll be able to talk straight for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And are you writing that down, or are you just going from looking at the chart?
I got into astrology literally as soon as I was learning to read in the newspaper next to like comics and cartoons as horoscopes.
Okay.
I remember then my mom had like a Sony computer, and I remember Googling like my natal chart and placements throughout my entire life. I could not stop. It was acting and memorizing things and learning nonstop, and it was astrology. Always, like both were just such extreme constants. And I never let up, which meant that by the time I was a teenager, I'd read every forum online. I'm pretty sure I set up a Google search so that any specific keywords or something new I would come up on.
Whoa.
I was voraciously obsessed with my rabbit hole.
Yeah,
and I didn't realize that other people didn't dedicate like extreme knowledge to something. And then it led people to immediately, as soon as I blow up online, be like, you took that for me. I'm like, bitch, I don't know who you are. Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is just me and my obsession. It means I missed out on, not in a bad way, but like dating and these things. Like, this is what I did instead.
Yeah.
So at this point for a YouTube video, if I'm not looking down, it's all in my head. If I'm looking down, it's because they're pointers I want to hit, but my scripts are not scripted words. It's like, make sure you talk about this transit, this transit, this transit. So most of my scripts are actually from my editor to follow along with graphics she puts in. But I also know that it, for me, if I'm editing my own videos like Vlogmas, bitch, if I have to look down at a script for 1 week, two, that's editing time. So like, no, we're just going to get it out. So like, yeah. I think scripts and napping, things I avoid, and I don't,
Was it about astrology that drew you in?
It was being able to see that there was this architecture to the universe that you might be able to peer into. And I grew up playing The Sims, and I loved having a world.
Yeah.
And I don't care to control the world. I want to be entertained. Show me. But I think having that bird's eye view was an incredible, like, stoic moment of I can accept reality and this can help me do it. And it's just fucking fun. It's just fun to be like, oh, what's coming up? Let me check this. Feels a little bit
prepared.
Yeah, and it's fun. And it feels like a mapping out of the architecture of reality that I get to peer into.
Do you ever feel like you know too much about the future because of it?
People ask me that a lot, and like, no.
Yeah.
I'm just very like stoic. Like, I can see horrible things coming up in my life. I'm like, chill. I can see great things. I'm like, chill. So.
Yeah. Is it always right? Or like, do you find like you interpret it incorrectly sometimes?
Oh yeah. No, I have incorrect things.
Right.
I don't have situations where it's like an event happens or doesn't happen and I had no idea wildly up. But what happens is that there can be something disruptive in a certain part of someone's life. Maybe that part of life deals with both. Like, the same area of the chart deals with creativity, children, and sex.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to use my reasoning with other factors involved to determine for this person, is it going to be creative breakthrough, breakup in their relationship, suddenly like miscarriage or a disruption in kids. I'd use my reasoning with that. So sometimes I can be wrong with the context, or literally usually the error is that I am writing everything out by hand online, and sometimes I can put moon instead of mercury. Then that gets trailed down. Three videos later, I'm still using that verbiage. Like today, I figured out in a video I did for Virgo in 2023, I talked about the wrong thing, and I'm like whatever. Like, I can't believe that. But usually it's a human error, which is what I'm trying to solve with, like, just bring in AI, because that's what's going to handle this anyway.
So, I mean, do you believe, like, some people are like, I can't date this sign? Are you into that at all? Because, yeah. I mean, we had we spoke to another astrologer, and she was like, I think that astrology just tells you some of the troubles that you're going to come across in the relationship. But she's like, I think any two signs can technically be compatible, yeah, and work out. What are your thoughts on that?
I like to say that compatibility is not yes or no, it's how so. Because your charts are overlaying in specific ways, kind of like two gears fitting together.
Yeah.
And it may show you that you're very compatible at work and money, but there's no, like, sexual interest. It might show you that you have a lot of passion and fire, but it's short-lived. So the way that you're compatible will differ person to person, and there are general energies of different signs that you'll do better with. Like, it's pretty I have my favorite people in the world. I have people I dislike. Like, it's ways
out. And they're all similar signs.
Right, yeah. Right. And
there's some people, I was like, sometimes I go through that and I go, I don't know anyone. I'm not friends with anyone, and I've never dated anyone of this sign ever. I don't even know who they are.
Me too. Yeah. And when I'm open about that, people then think I hate the sign. I go, no.
It's just your personal thing.
I'm not friends with people who are, I don't know, like, I don't even have a profession I can think of. But, like, it's not a moral. I don't give a shit. I literally don't give a shit about your sign. Like, yeah, whatever. But I do confine in my life what repeats, and there are certain signs that repeat with healthy dynamics time and time again. This does not mean that you cannot be in a relationship with someone who has one placement in a different sign. But because you have an entire chart, I don't generalize and say you can't date this sign or that sign, but they're more compatible charts, obviously.
Yeah, right.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
And do you use astrology in your own dating life? Like, you know, it's very in vogue right now to be like, what's your birth time? And, like, let me put it in the pattern app. And, you know, we all do that. But sometimes like, how destructive is this to the relationships in the real world?
It's pushing us in a direction that maybe we would not normally have gone.
I'd say that with astrology, because it's a mirror for reality, if you're meeting with someone and you have a spark, then the chart can help you understand that spark. If you meet someone and you dislike them, it'll help you understand that you dislike them. But because for one, I don't have an active dating life, so I don't really know I don't really ask people their time. Because this is my career and I'm thinking about it nonstop, none of my friends and I are talking about astrology ever. I don't, like, or crypto. We're talking about, random memes. So I do have everyone who works for me. I have all their birth info. And this was important for me just to see. It's kind of like doing a profiling of your, Myers-Briggs or whatever, for that. But I don't look at a chart and think I would or would not interact with this person, because that's not the way my mind works.
Yeah.
I'm a Libra moon. I just, if I see something even jarringly challenging, I'm like, oh, that's going to be fun to work through, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
it is objectively, like, there are charts I'll see with someone and I'm like, yeah, that's going to be a challenge to work through, but I don't disqualify this person. I show that life is probably going to disqualify that for me. But I think I think mechanistically, I think about astrology as a mirror for reality, not a force to negotiate with. It's not an external force. It's not something that you can pick and choose.
It's a tool.
It kind of applies. It literally shows you what is happening. It's a mirror. So it shows you fucking up with that person, or it shows you getting along well with it.
Yeah.
And
the roots of it.
I wouldn't think too much about like, oh, I should or shouldn't based on the chart. The chart will tell you if you should or shouldn't. Like, you're going to be doing it anyway. It'll show you what you do. Yeah.
It's just reflecting
back.
Yeah,
exactly.
So do you think of yourself as like having a gift, or do you think that like if anyone spent their whole youth studying astrology the way you did, that they could have the same grasp on it?
Both. I think that anyone who studies nearly anything can gain a decent understanding. Mm-hmm. I just operate at like extreme mental hyperspeed on everything I do, and I think if there was anything I set my mind to, like, I can be great at it. It just happened to be astrology as the biggest bit, like time, and I love patterns and like cycles.
Yeah,
apparently
which is all
that's
that
one
is.
Of the, yeah, exactly. I'm high probability. That's one of the many things that I undiagnosed. I think I'm autistic. Many things adding up to this, and like the like fixation on red, fixation on patterns and cycles. I'm like, to me, that's like how I work.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think nature and nurture help out with that.
And what do you think it was about you that made you like rise to the top as far as like. And there's, right. there's a lot of online astrology. I mean, I'm just scrolling through TikTok. There's so many people with tarot decks doing a show. And I'm like, to me, it feels almost dangerous, because I think you have to be careful with this kind of stuff and treat it
with respect.
Yeah, with respect. Yeah. So what do you think people respond to most about the way you read charts?
I think with astrology and anything that is a little bit more niche, there's a large percentage of people that are absolute idiots. Mm-hmm. And then there's a small percentage that are geniuses. Mm-hmm. I'm not calling myself a genius by any way, but like there's a lot of things where I'm just like, what in the fucking world?
Like sloppy. Like don't be sloppy.
Or like there's this like magic, woo, interesting. It's like, no. Pattern cycle here, deliver. So it's a little different. So I think for one, my concision and my directness spoke, it's just more dopaminergic. You get a result in the video faster. It's literally not going to be, if someone is rambling, not editing well, it is difficult to watch. No one's going to watch that. So that plus I have so much to say nonstop. People ask me, how do you make so much content? I'm like, I don't know how to fucking shut up. I have so much to say. Just it keeps going. It's why I find it very easy to write song after song after song after song to then like go back and comb through. And it's like, okay, let me see what's relevant now. So I think the ability for me to like put out nonstop content, be serious about it and have fun. Like I don't follow anyone who's just informative that I don't care about their life. Every single person I've grown up liking, whatever, I watch their – actually, no, I don't really, because I don't have time or care to. But, like, I would grow up watching their vlogs, their makeup tutorials. So I think bringing a personality differs me from someone who's just, like, information, like, here, which is cool. But there's some dry-ass people in every subject. Like,
100%. Sure.
And, like, no, I don't
– Also, everybody's so unique, and every person is the only human being that has lived their life from the second they come out of their mother's womb until now. So give me some of that, Bill.
Yeah, exactly.
Just give me some of that flavor.
Yeah. And a lot of people – who are in more like feminine or creative industries are just incredibly like politically correct, scared. I'm like, fuck no. Like, no. We're just going to be open and expose my life, everything. So I think that that is notable and hits home, either triggers or is honorable to people. Either way.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, because you are kind of very like into, you talk about a lot about like free speech and stuff like that, which I love, especially as a comedian. We talk about that a lot on this show.
God.
We've certainly gotten into our affair of pickles. but it's also interesting to see from someone, you know, Gen Z, because it's only seemingly gotten more politically correct. And the fact that you went to NYU, I would think would just kind of reinforce that a lot, because I'm always curious for people who have graduated the college system, you know, recently. Did you come across problems with your mindset?
Yeah. So growing up, people assume, oh, you're from Texas. No one. They call me like Marin Alt-Right. I'm like, shut the fuck up. I hate, but like, I'm just not even political. So people will be like, oh, you're from Texas. No wonder. You're like a right winger. I'm like, I grew up
in
Houston.
Stop trying to box me, you dumb fuck.
I grew up in Houston. So like, this is more blue than probably
very
whatever.
Liberal city.
It's a very
home
liberal
of Beyonce.
City. Yes, literally. I'm like, I grew up in Houston. It's not middle of nowhere, Texas. It's like Chicago, New York, LA, that kind of thing. when I got to NYU, I didn't realize, I was a little bit confused. Like, I remember someone telling me that, this is verbatim, someone telling me that I clearly had internalized homophobia because I was a very feminine presenting cis woman. And I was like, and then I remember asking
that
on
her, person is homophobic.
I remember asking, I didn't know what late capitalism on her computer meant. That's all I responded with was like, what does late capitalism mean? Like, that was my, I didn't know. And so I remember being a little confused. And I remember asking my dad some things because we were learning about like, why in a performance studies class, it was saying that this map of some colony was like racist and I didn't follow. It was like the map is right. And I was like, I don't get it. And I remember people shocked and like, oh, you don't understand that like everything is racist or homophobic.
Right. But you're just like, I don't have, please teach me what the concept, because it can be racist, but like, if you don't fucking know, and then educate me, please.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then I remember being like, it's not my job to educate. I was like, what? But I'm in school. Like what's,
yeah, so you're at the time, literally yeah, I was in university. School,
you're in a place where you're I literally paying to yeah.
paying people to educate
And then we
you.
Went to Washington Square Park with a teaching assistant. And I remember looking at people and commenting on the way they walked. And some people would be, that thing was like internalized racism. I was like, bitch, he has a fucking like limp leg. Like, what are we talking
just,
about?
You were just seeing unique, you know,
so
people that you hadn't seen
I
before.
I didn't have a word for that being a little bit feeling like, let's just be like person to person here. Like there were some people with certain identity, like, can we just fucking everyone
but
be themselves?
In the same way, though, because I have such a fucking gripe with that. When a kid goes up to a person in a wheelchair and goes, why are you in a fucking wheel? They don't say fuck, but like, you're in a wheel, your legs don't work. Why? Yeah. That's just a kid
that's
not
offensive.
Knowing.
That's just not
it's
offensive.
Not offensive at all.
Right.
A kid's going, what's this? Teach me. A
it's
kid
something
is so
I've
curious.
Never seen
that,
before.
And that parent's reaction of, shh, that is what
I hate
like,
that
yes,
shit.
Yes.
Because that puts a fire blanket over your curiosity.
It puts shame.
And then, if you're afraid to be curious, you're fucking done.
That's
yeah.
the people who now feel awkward saying any sort of race, gender, whatever. Like that's why people are now scared to say anything. That's like what, like whatever.
Yeah, and it's like, well, we still need to learn about each other. I would
speak?
Like to learn. Yeah,
can
got
we,
it.
Can we just speak like we're people? Like, please. Right. So I think being at NYU, I didn't realize at the time, that was a confusion on my part. But my reaction internally was like, you have to be an upstanding citizen. Like all the things, all the flags.
You have to have the right thoughts and the right curiosity.
And I didn't realize that was happening. I can now see. And that's why when I see people who are very activism oriented, I literally feel for them. I'm not even triggered. I'm like, I see and I understand you. And I'm someone who's like been vegan since I was 16, like all these things. But I don't feel I don't give a shit what you eat, whatever. Like, that's just me.
Right.
Like, cool. I feel great doing it.
It's not your identity. It's just how you want to live your life.
I don't. And the when I was younger and I pretended to really care and be like, oh, I have a bracelet that means I can't eat with you unless... I didn't really give a shit. It was all performative and I didn't realize that. I literally did not realize that. I did not realize that. I still the internal cause of me being like, I'm going to minimize harm, whatever. I don't give a shit, whatever. I'll go at dinner with you anywhere. But that, then when I blew up and I was accused of like every ism or obia, me being like, what? Like, I remember taking a step back and being like, I did not do any of these things, but I'm a presence of toxic whiteness anyway. I will do. And that was like, I remember literally people, that was when people in my family were like, wake the fuck up, please. And then I remember literally the next day I tweeted at wokeness will cannibalize itself. And I lost like half my following overnight. And since then I've had no apologies, been like, I am incredibly honest, straightforward. I don't care about any of this drama, whatever. I don't have any side either. I'm just me. And I think more people need to just be themselves, worried about themselves. I talked with my trainer earlier today about like, just, it was just a stupid thing about like people were in a certain situation where they definitely not need to be masked. Like, it was just like stupid.
Yeah.
And we had
like
to talk
outside.
It was outside on a bus that was driving and everyone was masked. And I go, I think those are computer game players. Like, those can't be real people. They're all, and we laughed. And she didn't know at the time that I was like very open about just like, fucking soft. So that's my take.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned, I forgot about this. You mentioned earlier in passing that you were in pageants for a little while, you know, growing up in Texas. I'm fascinated by
Texas
by
pageants. That's even doubly pageanty.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of your, I don't know how young you were, if you remember any pageant stories.
I was 3 to 4 and I was very young and I did them at my country clubs. And I have a picture of me being Tinkerbell. I had like this blonde, big curly hair. I was in this like green costume, green. Yes. And I was having the time of my life. You can tell that like there's other girls crying, whatever, and I'm just like,
oh,
up there.
This so is me.
I have no crazy stories because my parents quickly, within like a year of doing a couple, quickly put me into acting because they were like, if you enjoy this, we don't want you to just be doing this on stage. Yeah. I know I had a great time, but then I grew up and I saw people who were still in it who were having just like the crazy moms and the I was like,
yeah, there's a lot of shit with pageants.
Yeah, so it's I have no regrets, but to this day, it's like. The people are like, oh, just wants to be in camera. I'm like, yes, I love doing this. Like, I love being up. And I respect people who are background people because I can't relate. So,
yeah.
And I guess to wrap it up, I think the most valuable thing maybe for our listeners and for me definitely would be like what I know there's a lot of talk about like we live in an, you know, a society that overworks itself and a lot of Gen Z is kind of like work less, enjoy your life. But I agree with that face that you just made. Can you talk a little bit about that concept and how you can still have fun in your life by achieving things?
I think a lot of these like yes queen louder things are just a pendulum swinging back and forth. Obviously if you are laboring to death in like a fucking factory, like please you know take time yourself. If you also are lazy as fuck, please like ideally don't be, but I mean your choice, whatever. It's all everyone's choice. If you want to be the person who is online talking about rest, relaxation, toxic capitalism, whatever, okay, be my guest, like that's fine. That doesn't resonate with me. I kind of tried that thing of like, oh, like I need to embody my feminine. I love working nonstop. I love at the end of the day being like, I killed it. And maybe one day that'll change. Maybe one day. But I love what I do. You can see like, oh, you're privileged because you're pretty, so you got... But I work so hard with that. Being like, okay, so maybe... genetically benefited. I will work harder then because of that. Like I will.
Like, what do you do? Hit yourself please. In the face with a brick?
Are you mad? Like, fuck you. Whatever. So because of that, I love what I do, and I think that when people ask me how are you productive, motivated, I don't need to think about those things because I am in an alignment where when I begin to feel like I don't want to do something, like I no longer want to do private consultations, I will stop doing them. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of scary because it brings in substantial income? Sure. However, what's the worst case? I end up on the street. Someone is giving me whatever. It's not going to happen. But like, right. I think about worst case. Like, sure. So what? Whatever. So I think that if you are struggling with like, oh, I'm working so much. Do I need to rest? This dichotomy between rest, recover, and also hustle culture. Just do whatever the fuck you want. I don't care.
Just like, go to the natural flow of what your body and mind are telling you. And a lot of times when people are like, they don't realize they've been on fight or flight their whole life and they're fucking tired and that's why they can't get to work. Like that. So it's like, you got to investigate that shit.
Versus like, I think, and I know this very well growing up in like an environment that was so like fight or flight versus just literally having endless energy. It just doesn't end. It doesn't end for what I want to do. And not everyone is like, I've learned not everyone is as dopaminergic. I now see that motivation and more that is dopamine.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're on Adderall. No, I've never taken Adderall. I don't need it. Do you see? Like, no.
People always think I'm on cocaine and I go, that's life, baby.
Yeah, literally. Like in New York, you'll never find anything decent. So no point. So like, no, not worth it.
Good
but
to know.
Yeah. But with like the hustle versus we don't need a fucking fight about it. Do whatever you want. I'm going to kill it. If you want to argue about it, you're wasting time. Decide what you want to do and commit to it.
Nice.
Where can we find you? Where can people follow you?
Maren Altman on anything.
On anything. So YouTube, Altman. TikTok, Instagram, Twitter.
If there's any accounts with the weird underscore saying text me on WhatsApp, fraud. Never me. I will not. I don't give a shit. I won't ever text somebody
if they want a reading. That's been happening to everybody I know that does tarot. They're like, if I ask you if you want a reading, it's not me.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ, there's so much scammers.
So yeah, Maren on everything. Maren Altman. Or sometimes it's just Maren, but like Maren Altman.
You'll see red.
My face. Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for
appreciate it so much. This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares? These niggas on something, baby. What they talking about? Sooner or later. We'll be sitting as I justify it. Stand up, baby. That's right. Get rowdy. Go crazy cause we riding. Shit, I'm with it. Trying to throw a couple bodies in the truck. Give them more smoke or blood. Yeah.
profile, you've been hiding. Yes, time to say what's up. Time to prove your body. Yeah, between them dungarees, ain't no chill about it. Yes, time to step it up, yeah. I've been on the road, moving like a zombie, think I lost control. Down bad, I fucked it up, don't know where else to go. I'll take it out to the face, pull up a shot to erase my sins. I'm feeling terrified.
That's it, I'm giving up. One more day, this shit, I'ma hang it up. Four times, I try to fix it, but I had enough. Yeah, it's way too much. If I had to summarize, I swear to God, I say I can't find
serenity. No closed eyes, it's televised. But hold tight to what you specialize. Some motherfuckers thought we'd terrorize. Hit it breaking in.
Hear me out. These niggas on something, baby. What they talking about? Sooner or later,
we'll be singing ours. I just fire and stand up, baby. That's right.
Get ready.
Go crazy, cause we're riot.
Shit, I'm with it.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.